The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Coming up, Mark Ogden with us to try and defend his Premier League team of the season. Stevie and Craig pretty much tear him apart. And we start, though, in Italy. Inter Milan with a 2-0 victory over Napoli today. Atalanta winning as well away against Parma. We'll talk about that a little later on. But first, Xhaka and Don, let's talk about Inter. This game kind of instantly forgettable. Overall, Don, how do you assess their season, considering, look, they're going to finish second, you reckon?
I think it's been average. I expected a lot more from Antonio Conte. I mean, the last three games, I've watched them live. I've seen them draw 0-0 against Fiorentina, and that was just a bore fest. I've seen them draw 2-2 against Roma, and they probably shouldn't have got anything out of the game tonight. And their defence was really, really good tonight. But going forward, I mean, they're so one-paced. They don't get you off your seat. You think, you know, even when they're controlling the game, which they did for 30 minutes of the game, I thought they were quite good when they come out of the traps and got a 1-0 lead. But then they allow the opposition, Napoli, to come back into the game. Second half, Napoli were far better than the best side. And then they Inter scored the last 10 or 15 minutes, but not great to watch. I expected a lot more from Antonio Conte's men this season.
Yeah, they have kind of let their fan base down and those who were thinking that maybe they could push Juventus all the way, Shaq.
Yeah, and listen, I understand everything that Don's saying, but the truth of the matter is that I don't think anybody realistically expected them to push Juventus. A Juventus team that added Cristiano Ronaldo a couple of seasons ago and into Milan, turned to Romelu Lukaku, Alexis Sanchez, and then Ashley Young, three players who could barely get into the Manchester United team. I think second place for Inter is an accomplishment. I never thought they'd leapfrog Juventus. But Don is also right. You expected more in terms of the football. But this is who Antonio Conte is. They grind results out. That's what Inter did. Everything that is said on the tin to start the season.
If you're Inter, Don, what do you do in the summer to make yourself more competitive against Juve?
Oh, I think you've got to buy more attacking players. And what you don't do is sell Lautaro Martinez. If you sell him, then you're short. Alexis Sanchez has actually had a good end to the season, but I don't think he's going to get you anywhere near 20 goals a season. Christian Eriksen, I've got no idea what's happened to him because he was bad when he left Tottenham. His form was gone. His confidence was gone. I expected him to play well in Italy under Antonio Conte, given that number 10 position. He looks as though his confidence is gone. He doesn't look as though he's got a yard of pace. Even the sort of half pace that he had, you always sort of got a trick out of him. You got a pass out of him. You certainly got loads of assists out of him. But I've seen nothing over the last half a dozen games. So I think if you're Antonio Conte, you need to get more at your players. You know, you've got people like Brozovic, who's a good player. Nicola Barella is the real star there, but he's stifling him as well. So top end of the pitch, it's a must that you don't sell your best players.
Percentage chance of Napoli going through against Barcelona in that second leg, Don?
I think there's a chance.
Really?
I do. I think when you look at the form of people like Insigne and Dries Mertens, Arkadiusz Milik, Callejon, if he plays, there's good enough players to trouble Barca. The trouble with Barca is they've still got world-class players and ridiculously good players like Messi, and then dependent on the form of Griezmann and Suarez. So, you know, Barcelona on their day can rip anyone apart, but this is certainly not the Barcelona that I've been watching over the last, decade.
Meanwhile, who would have thought, when we were talking about Atalanta against PSG, the conversation that we had yesterday, a lot of the boys now, Don, going for Atalanta to go through because of that injury to Mbappe, because of their continued good form, of course, stretching that unbeaten run today with that victory against Parma. Who are you siding with in this tie?
It's a difficult one because I'll take you back to September when PSG played Real Madrid in Paris and they didn't have Kylian Mbappe in that game and they beat them 3-0. And they were absolutely brilliant. It was one of the best performances I've seen PSG for a long time because they looked solid and they stiffened up the midfield. He played a three in midfield and they looked really good. With this Atalanta side, I mean, Gasperini is one hell of a manager. I mean, his tactics are quite bizarre. You know, he takes his best players off. He rotates them every now and again. Case in point tonight, when you watch the first half against Parma, they were so bad, Atalanta, and he obviously got right into them at half time, and he changed one or two little positions. Muriel came on, had an impact. Papu Gomez got the winner. And then as soon as Papu Gomez scored, he dragged them off because the team and the result is the most important thing, and they won the game 2-1. So with Gasperini in charge, they've got one hell of a chance.
How big a chance, Don?
I think I would put it as a 50-50. I'd put it that
sit
close.
On the fence.
Listen, Barca on the day, as we all know, are a terrific side. But I just get the feeling when I watch Barca, they're not
PSG,
the same.
It's PSG. Come on.
Sorry, go on.
PSG, not Barca. That was the other
PSG. Sorry, PSG.
That was late.
I think it's a 50-50. I think without Mbappe, contradiction, as I said before, they didn't play him in the first leg against Real Madrid in September. But I think it's that close because Atalanta have been banging in sixes and sevens against everyone this season.
Who would you choose?
At a push, if you had to nail me, I'd say just PSG.
PSG definitely going through then, according to Don, to the next round of the Champions League. A lot of time, of course, to continue to look ahead to that tie. A lot more from Don and Shaka on the latest edition of Extra Time. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel as the boys answer some of your tweets.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
It's like Christmas Day for Mark Ogden. Every year he gets the opportunity to announce his Premier League best 11, and always everyone is in agreement. Here it is in all of its glory. Alisson, Trent, Virgil, Van Dijk, Laporte, Robertson make up the back four. Kante, Bruno and De Bruyne in midfield. And then it's Manny, Vardy and Christian Pulisic completes the 11. Mark, looking at the comments from lovely social media, it is that final American edition that seems to have caused most of the furore.
It's not just that, Dan. It's not just Pulisic. There's quite a few, but let's do with Pulisic in the first instance. You know, I could have picked Mo Salah. I could have picked Raheem Sterling. But, you know, both those players had a great season. I don't think they performed beyond what people expected. I think, you know, if you look at it, they probably performed below expectations. I think with Pulisic, he came in and I saw it at the start of the season, first month or so. It looked like a fish out of water. Like he wasn't strong enough, wasn't quick enough. But he's really worked at it and he's come good. And that, you know, you look at his stats now, he's scored more. He's got the same amount of goals in his first season as Eden Hazard did at Chelsea. And he was crucial in certainly the post-restart to Chelsea getting the Champions League. So, yes, you know, he had strong competition there. But I think the progress he's made towards the end of the season has been spectacular. So I think Pulisic deserves a place.
Has he convinced you, Craig, would Pulisic have been in your 11?
Well, we should change the target at the bottom, just under your chins now. Augie should be Premier League beyond expectations, team of the season, surely. Because, you know, let's just take the Pulisic one. Raheem Sterling, you know, had 29 goals in all comps. Aubameyang was 27, playing off the left-hand side in all comps. Marcus Rashford could probably get in there and probably should be in there before. Another Man United hater, Daniel. Augie is, because, you know, no Rashford and anywhere on the front line. 22 goals for him, probably playing most of the time off the left-hand side. And that is just that position.
Yep, that is just that position.
Never mind the fact we go to the other end.
Yes.
He's got Aymeric Laporte in.
Yes.
He spent most of the season in bandages.
But who else would you pick?
He only played 18 games, Augie.
But in those 18, if you had to pick two centre-halves from the last Premier League season, you'd pick Van Dijk, I imagine. Who else would you pick?
But
he let his team down at Bournemouth.
Maguire.
He let his team down big time. But for that,
listen,
nah,
Maguire, you nailed the beyond expectations. You said beyond expectations. When they sold Harry Maguire, they were up the creek without a paddle because they didn't go out and buy a centre-half, well, an expensive one. So that is a classic case of performing beyond expectations. Yeah, he got the suspension at the end, but let's.
But he let his team down by getting sent off at Bournemouth. That killed him.
So,
Robbins does it regular, but nobody gives him pelters. Except me.
Well, the thing with Laporte, I agree that he's been injured this season, but when he plays, he's crucial to City. When he doesn't play, they say that some players are better when they don't play. Laporte's had the best season of his career by not playing for City at times this season because they've missed him so much.
Hold on a minute. Can we rename this team of the season to after the pandemic started, stopped and started the over expectation team of the season? He was a lot better this year than last year. Team of the season. Listen, as far as Laporte's concerned, he missed half the season, and when he did, listen, Harry Maguire came in and solidified Manchester United's defence, no question. When Laporte's come in, hasn't he made any difference? He hasn't made the guy next to him better. Maguire's made Lindelof better. Sunshow's come in and made Evans better. Never mind the pair of them together.
As far as Laporte,
but can I go back?
Hey.
Can I go back, though, to Pulisic?
Yeah.
How can you possibly have Pulisic ahead of Aubameyang, Sterling? In particular,
Aubameyang was very
close. Up until the restart, it was a toss of a coin whether he was in the starting 11, and that's you can't argue that. So, again, if this is team of the season, the last ten games of the season. Oh, by the way, can I pick another one? How can you have Kante? He's another one that's missed a lot of games. And by the way, Jordan Henderson just won the sports writers award. You are one of the main voters in it, and he's not even in it.
But I didn't vote for him. It wasn't my vote. I voted for Trent Alexander-Arnold, so he's in my team. So we talk about now, Kante. So every time I saw Kante, he impressed me. He didn't play every game, but when I see him, I think he's the best defensive midfielder. It was either him or Fabinho, and I think Fabinho's had a great season. But, you take Fabinho out of the Liverpool team, they can cover his absence. When Kante's not playing for Chelsea, I don't think they have a replacement. So, look, if I picked the best 11 players, it would have been a pretty boring team. It would have been, the best 11. I think it's the 11 players that have exceeded expectations, that have done really well, that have impressed me at times, that the team has missed when they've not been playing. And I know I'm rewriting the rules a little bit to justify my selection, but that's how it is.
Well, the problem with that theory is that the one person who would just tick all of the boxes you just mentioned is in that 11. That's Danny Ings.
Yeah, but you can't pick him ahead of Jamie Vardy, who's a top scorer in the Premier League.
But you just said, where are we setting the bar? Because surely Danny Ings has excelled all expectations. If it wasn't for him, Southampton would be in deep, deep trouble.
Well, so is Jamie Vardy. He's 33 and he's top scorer in the Premier League for a team that hadn't been anywhere near the top four or five since they won the league in 2016. So,
but what's the biggest surprise? Yeah, Jamie Vardy's Vardy numbers or Danny Ings?
I think Jamie Vardy, because he's 33.
Oh, Mark! Oh, shush!
Come on!
By the way, so it's now been renamed again.
I put him on the bench.
When Augie saw you play, you impressed me. When I didn't see you play, I wasn't giving the stuff. And by the way, Stevie, what are you chirping on about Harry Maguire? Good grief.
Harry Maguire, up until he made a huge mistake against Tottenham with Bergwijn's goal, followed by Costa Gea making a mess of that as well. And the last couple of games of the season hasn't been particularly great.
And the Bournemouth game.
But since he walked through that door, he's had an absolutely huge impact on United defensively, no question.
Look, I mean, you mentioned the Tottenham mistake. There's the one against Bournemouth as well, when him and De Gea, made a mess of it. And the Southampton game at home, it's the 97th minute. You're 1-0 up in a game that you really need to win. You're the centre-half, you're the captain, the corner comes in. Surely the one thing you do when a corner comes in the 97th minute when you're 1-0 up is head the ball away. And he didn't. Or 2-1 away.
Team of the season, if you make a mistake against Bournemouth at the end of the year, you've done brilliant for 8 months of the season, and in the last 2 weeks... You make some mistakes, so that's it. Scrapped. You're out the door.
He doesn't communicate very... I think he's the best defender that United have got, but that doesn't say a lot. I think, he's the best of a bad bunch. But he's a better defender than most, but I think he needs a centre-half with pace alongside him to make him the player he should be for £80 million.
Any other business, Craig or Stevie? Should we move on?
Well, No, I do think the Kante one was a bit strange, but not that I don't think he's a great player. He is, but he like Laporte, he didn't get the game time that Chelsea would have hoped. Certainly Henderson for me. But it's all about opinions. But there's no doubt Mark's definitely gone down the pandering to the American audience with the Pulisic. There's no doubt. Honestly.
I didn't know Mark.
I mean, he's
like
been
that.
Brilliant. Don't get me wrong.
That was his biggest
fits and starts. He's a brilliant player. But you can't discriminate against age and stuff like that. Just because Aubameyang's in his 30s now. I mean, that's a heck of a return.
Yeah, fantastic return for Aubameyang. I can't disagree with that. You know, it was very close. But listen, I've been one of Pulisic's biggest critics. I saw him in Istanbul when he played. And when he played against Liverpool in the Super Cup, I thought it was awful. I thought it was terrible. But he's come on such a long way since then. You know, so I think you have to give the guy credit for his perseverance and the way that he's actually, you know, proved a lot of people wrong, including me.
So he wins the most improved award of the season then.
Probably, yeah. I can't think
next week's
Anthony Martial. If there was one, Anthony Martial would be the other one.
Yeah, he's a week early.
Okay, let's move on, shall we?
You know, they're even giving out awards now. The Premier League give out the Golden Boot, the Golden Glove, which are fair enough. Kevin De Bruyne was given the Playmaker of the Year award. It's like, because he had the most assists. I mean, what next? Tackles, clearances, headers? I mean, Steve, you're a defender. Why don't defenders get awards? What is it with the Playmaker of the Year? Is that just a contrived award just to give somebody...
Mark, you've just spent the last 10 minutes telling us about this terrible awards that you've given people because they're most improved, or you saw them once and they weren't that good. So I think, really, you're in no position to talk about...
It's just an excuse to give Kevin De Bruyne an award.
Yeah, by the way,
it diminishes Kevin De Bruyne. Okay.
Yeah, listen, don't feel bad about this because Marcotti used to get hit with this big sledgehammer on a regular basis. So you've just taken over that mantle. Don't take it personally.
I was sent a tweet today. Somebody decrying selecting Bruno Fernandes in his team because his expected assists weren't very high. Expected assists. Hey, what's that mean?
Craig wins the comments from social media over the last 24 hours, trust me, as I've seen to have turned into
Well, I'm not
PA
on social
on
media now,
exactly.
You know that. I'm taking
They're
a sabbatical and
me.
I don't give a stuff about the comments. What can't speak, can't lie. United had 66 points last season and 66 again this season.
Here we go. Can I go and get a cup of tea and come back for
right.
you to finish again?
Marcus, you're here. It's the first time I've had the chance to talk to you properly about Jadon Sancho. Percentage likelihood he'll be a United player at the start next season?
I'd say about 90%, and that isn't quite true, Dan. I think we've spoken about Sancho every time I've been on since lockdown began. You know, Sancho and United just doesn't go away, does it? But I think United will do what they always do. They'll make a low bid. It'll take a bit of time to get resolved. It may not get done before the season starts, but I think he will be a Man United player before the window closes. So there's a kind of a difference there.
How many points do you think United would get with Jadon Sancho in the team, Craig?
67. Well, listen, it's not. But I don't.
Depends who plays at centre
half. Smart Alec about this. It's. I'm just giving you factual information. It's not. I mean, you know what I mean. It's not. I can't get my head around the victory lap for 66 points. That's all it is. That number resonates.
And Craig makes a valid point. The valid point is that generally 70 points is what you need for the Champions League. Over the past 10, 15 years, 70 points gets you in. So 66 is quite a low one. To finish third on 66 points kind of backs up Craig's point that everyone else has regressed. Apart from Liverpool, everyone has lost points. So the fact that United have moved forward while standing still is quite a rarity. And it's right, you know, United have a lot of ground to make up next season. They can't expect to get 66 points next season and qualify for the Champions League.
Final word on Jadon Sancho, Stevie. How much better will he make Manchester United?
Ooh, I would like him in my team. Listen, if I'm picking a team and I've got a choice of him or Greenwood, I'm going to take Jadon Sancho every day of the week because he's more mature, he's more experienced. I think he's at a level above Greenwood. But at the same time, if I'm Greenwood, I'm wondering what's going on here because this kid looks like a starter. A star of the future, but Jadon Sancho, yep, if you can get him, you take him all day.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. ESPN, just a reminder, we'll be back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
A 1-1 draw against Palace guaranteed Spurs Europa League football next season. This is what Jose Mourinho had to say after the game.
When all the players are available, we showed in these last periods where we belong. I don't know, but maybe in this COVID after lockdown, I don't know, maybe we finish, I don't know, third, fourth in the table, but arriving fourth, 14th, and ending sixth is not bad at all. So I'm quite happy that next season we play Europa League. It's just a question of us to motivate ourselves.
Boys, where do we start with Spurs, Mark? Obviously, 14th to 6th on the, you know, you look at it and it looks pretty good. However, when he took over, they were 3 points off 5th, and when they finished, they're 3 points off 5th.
Yeah, it's difficult to kind of quantify what Mourinho's done and where Spurs stand at. I think, you know, he's done a great job to get him in the Europa League, but I do worry about Tottenham going into next season, whether they will make any kind of progression under Mourinho. I think the football won't be as entertaining as it was under Pochettino, and I don't actually see them, you know, challenging to win anything next season either. So he steadied the ship, but I just wonder about where Spurs are going. You know, they've got a rebuild job to do then. I'm not quite sure how they're going to do it. So, yeah, I'd worry if I was a Tottenham supporter.
I think everyone, Craig, it's interesting looking back at the predictions at the start of the season, had Spurs finishing in the top four. You've talked about teams that have regressed this campaign. Spurs are king of that.
Yeah, nobody really saw it coming. I mean, there was a worry about the lack of transfer activity surrounding the whole squad, but that's a kind of yearly scenario for Tottenham under the Daniel Levy stewardship. But nobody saw the performances go down so much under Pochettino. But listen, 14th was an anomaly at the time. They would never have finished in that position. The likelihood is they'd have been somewhere around where they are, if not better, because Pochettino clearly is a good manager. And would have turned the ship around. Not so much to getting Champions League finals or fighting for titles, but he would have turned that ship around anyway with that squad of players. Look, it's a BS job for half of these coaches. It's just get out there, try and paint a picture that everything's rosy. I've done a great job. If I'd been here a full season, would have been in this position. Well, you haven't. And I'll tell you what he has done. He's drained the life out of it for the supporter, because some of the football, even at home against poorer teams, has been pretty awful. And there's no getting away from that. And if Tottenham fans are happy with that, they're going to have another 12 months of it next season. And I don't really see them fighting for that top four. Well, they'll fight for it early on, but I don't really see them long-term being in the race for that top four next year.
It's kind of difficult, Stevie, isn't it, at the moment, to be optimistic if you're a Spurs fan?
Is it really? I think the only thing I'm thinking about if I'm a Spurs fan is Harry Kane going to stay? And you know Mourinho wants to bring players in, but is there going to be any money available? That means he's going to be left with pretty much what he had this year. And the truth is, yes, they finished sixth, but, you know, they won four of the last six and drew two. And that was only because the pressure was off. Everybody had discarded them. Everybody had said they had gone. And all of a sudden, they put this little run together. And now Josie's talking about, well, maybe we should be in third or fourth or this or that. I mean, I don't see it. I don't see an awful lot of optimism for Spurs fans. You know, since they started keeping stats, Opta, this was the least amount of shots at goal Spurs had this season. And if they think that's going to change next season, all the very best. So I'm not so sure there's too much to look forward to if you're a Spurs fan.
Dan, take his temperature.
I know.
Stato.
Oh, my stats. Final word. Mark, we've got like 20 seconds. Will Harry Kane be at Spurs next season?
I think he will be, because I don't think the market is there for him to go. I think Daniel Levy wants, you know, £200 million for Harry Kane. Well, nobody's got that money, and I think, you know, Kane's injury record in recent years has knocked his value off. So I think he's stuck at Tottenham. If he wants to go, he's stuck there, and Spurs are stuck with him, so they can't raise any money by selling him. So maybe it'd suit both parties for him to go on, but I don't think there's a market there. I don't think he'll be able to find a move.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. More from Mark, by the way, on the latest edition of the Gav and Jules podcast. No Jules, so Stuart Robson stepping in as well to listen to Gav. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Check out ESPN's Instagram account on Thursday. Alexis Nunez is joined by Robert Lewandowski, answering some of your questions. Should be a lot of fun. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. As always, thank you very much to everyone who has joined us. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Till then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka and Don with me. Don, you've excused Lampard all season for their transfer ban. Martial, Rashford and Pogba were injured for much of the campaign. Why is that not a valid excuse for not doing better?
Good question. But I will add that they lost their best player in Eden Hazard. And United weren't particularly great for, you know, the start of the season. And certainly the midpoint, the end of the season was terrific. But, you know, at the very start of the season when United were linked with Bruno Fernandes and they didn't get that signing over the line, it took them to January to get that signing over the line. And when they did, imagine what they would have done if he had come through the door early on. I mean, he was the difference, because all of a sudden people around him started to play. Pogba looked as though he was playing with a smile on his face. So in the end, you know, United had a very good season, finishing third. But I think there's a few more excuses that you could give Frank more than Ollie.
Don, if you're Ed Woodward and Pochettino calls you up and says, you know what, I'd like to come to Old Trafford, what do you do? Yeah.
I'd say too late.
Would
I'd
you?
I'd say too late. I would. I see signs in Ollie. I mean, there's no guarantee if Pochettino comes through the door that he's going to take them to a title or he's going to take them to the Champions League. I can see signs in United. I can see what they're doing. They're getting rid of players that they don't want, that they think are no good in the dressing room. They're younger. They've got, you know, they seem more vibrant. They seem as though they've got a hunger for the game. And I can see where they're going. Listen, I've said it before and I'll stand by it. I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will be the man to take Man U to a Champions League final and win it, or even win the Premier League, as long as Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp's here. But at the same time, you have to give him time to try and have a go at it, because the signs are pretty good.
Shaka?
I'd prefer to have Pochettino right now, but I just think the time will be all wrong if you get rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for Pochettino this summer. But just going back to the original question, Dan, as much as you talk about Pogba being injured for a lot of the season, so was N'Golo Kante. As much as you may talk about injuries to Rashford and Martial, added to the transfer ban, Frank Lampard had to rely on Tammy Abraham being introduced pretty much for the first time in the starting lineup with any kind of consistency. And an Olivier Giroud, who's older than Don. I mean, those injuries and who you have to rely on can go any number of ways. And as Don rightly pointed out, add to that you lose Eden Hazard. I think Chelsea and Frank Lampard have far more excuses than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer does.
Shaka, who wins in a 100-metre sprint between you, me and Giroud?
I back myself comfortably, Dom.
Oh, wait, my producer's just texted me. What does it say? Let's see. The last question is a link to an article saying, well, that's not relevant now. Why is he texting that now? Anyway.
So your phone going off as well, was it?
Yes. Well, it's the producer. I thought it was, I've got it on emergency when he texts me. I thought it was something interesting, but it's something for the last question. If United end up signing Sancho, who do you play in the front three next year, or do you change the formation completely, Don?
No, easy. Martial out. You might not sell him, but to the bench. You'd play Rashford off the left, Jadon Sancho off the right, and move Mason Greenwood into the nine position. I think he's going to play that position for a long time, Mason Greenwood. Everything I see and the maturity, the size of him, he's grown into his body. He's got a hammer of a left foot. He knows the position quite well at such a young age. And I just think he's destined just to be a Man United great. I think his early signs are sensational.
Who gets through to the final of the promotion playoff and who wins it, Don?
I would lean towards Fulham, I think.
Well, they're 2-0 up. That's why you're leaning towards them, yeah.
Say that again?
They're 2-0 up, aren't they?
Well, yeah. But that's why I lean towards them. So
yeah,
that's
good.
Yeah. So I think that I would lean towards them right. And I think they'll win it.
They'll win it overall. And who will make it through? Will Swansea make it through against them?
I think so. I think they've got momentum. At the start, when they started back from Project Restart, they were 11th, Swansea. And made it into sixth. So they've got all the momentum, they've got the confidence. But I think Fulham have got too much know-how.
Don, a central defender or goalkeeper, who should Chelsea's primary target be this season?
Oof, wow, that's a good question. I would still lean towards, a centre-half because I think they've got enough centre-halves, Chelsea. But I don't think they've got that dominant leader where if you drop someone like Koulibaly into Chelsea, and then you can maybe play Rudiger or you could play Zouma.
Yeah, but who'd you play in goal, Don? Willy?
What?
Would you play Willy in goal then?
I'll play.
You've asked me either or. I mean, if they buy a goalkeeper, there's no guarantee that that back line and the numbers that they've got at the moment, I don't think would take them anywhere near the title next season if you didn't change centre-half. So if it's a question of a centre-half or a goalkeeper, I would say a centre-half.
Where are you going, Shaq?
I'm going goalkeeper. I just think there's no confidence in Kepa, and I've said before, I don't think Willie is the number one. And you see from the defence, they have absolutely no confidence in Kepa behind them. That is the first aspect to change if you want to get anything out of a back four, regardless of who else you may bring in.
Okay, slightly different topic now. Shaka, we've seen you, haven't we, in these big kits when you were playing. In seeing their kits and their playing day, seems that tight fitting and lightweight was not the order of the day. Would they have preferred today's kit over the ones they wore? Shaka, you look like you're wearing a dress half the time.
That was the style. You have to remember, I was a trendsetter back in the day, Dan. I wasn't a follower. I set the standard.
But no one followed that. No one followed that. Who wore kits that were hanging off down their ankles?
They haven't followed it yet, Dan.
How would you have felt in the tight kit, Shaq?
I would be comfortable in it. I was a bit like an Adonis I was back in the day.
Right, yep. Don, I imagine the start of your career, you were all right. Maybe a little bit later on in the career, you would have struggled to get into those kits.
What? I've always been skinny. I'm still skinny now. I'd fit right into these tight kits. I think they're amazing.
Yeah.
The kit behind me, I mean, honestly, I played in that and it's ridiculous sizes. The sleeves were massive. The necks were massive. You had to tuck them in. They weighed a ton. They were terrible kits that we played in.
Look at the size of that. Look at the size of that thing. You can compare my kits to what Don has behind him.
Shaka, let me tell you now, the kit that you wore in the 4-4 draw against Charlton, if you had worn a tighter kit, you wouldn't have conceded four.
Oh, nice.
There you are.
Bring that up. Don, this is the back of yesterday where we talked about that shirt behind you. You said you prefer playing in long sleeves. You're invited to a dear friend's beautiful wedding ceremony, short sleeves or long sleeves. Would your decision be based on your temperature comfort, like your Liverpool jersey?
What's the question?
If you're going
short sleeve,
if you're going wedding, short sleeve or long sleeve?
A shirt.
Yes.
Where's the wedding?
I don't know. Say it's at Trinidad and Tobago. Say you're going to see
Short sleeve. That's different. Short sleeve all day long.
Short sleeve. Yeah. It's all down to the temperature, Shaka.
Yeah, if it's in Trinidad and Tobago, short sleeve. Just about anywhere else, I go long sleeve.
Did you get married in short sleeve, Shaq?
No, I actually got married in a full three-piece long tail suit and nearly died.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. It just seemed smart. It seemed cool. I kid you not.
My goodness.
Guess what I got married in?
Which time, Don?
Linen trousers and flip flops.
Oh, very nice. Very good. Okay. Has Shaka, this is still on the temperature, has Shaka considered turning on the AC and cooling his room before the show starts? People are very concerned about your sweat levels, Shaka.
I know. I'm sweating now again. I have. I've done that. I've switched it on, the room's been cool, and then as soon as you switch it off, it just gets roasting hot. It's hot outside.
It is really hot today, isn't
it? You need a short sleeve shirt on. That's your problem.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Just point taken, Don. Just
come in a vest. Final question, which is with reference to the text. Let me just read the last question. Had a link to an article saying David Moyes is targeting wanting to win the Premier League next season. Will Don make another bold prediction about the Hammers for next season? David Moyes seems to think it's a solid prediction. He says he's going to win it.
Yeah, I've just seen the notes on the back of your bits of paper there, by the way. You've got to be careful.
I tell you what, you could show this to a psychologist and they'd have a field day. Right.
Oh, my days. I've got no idea where West Ham are going to finish next season.
Because you said they were going to finish top... You said they were going to finish top four when you were on the show last year with us.
Yeah. Next season, top five. I've got no idea.
I think that's it, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Shaka, you can turn on the AC.
Thanks,
Don, you can go short sleeve, long sleeve, whatever you want.